Read from Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark 12, 28. While you're looking for that, have you ever noticed a difference in the spelling of disciple and discipline? Hi, Mitch. Did you know there's very little difference in the spelling of the two words, disciple and discipline? The ending is just a little different, but they're almost the same word. I got to meditating on that the other day, and I thought, you know, disciples have to be disciplined ones. In other words, to be a disciple of Christ, you have to be disciplined to serve Him, disciplined. You have to have a disciplined mind and a disciplined heart. You know, we have to bring our flesh under subjection. Any carnal thoughts that come by, we bring them under subjection. You know, discipline is a good thing. Discipline can save your life. Discipline doesn't have to mean harshness. Discipline can be done with tears of love in both parties. A wise old minister some years back told me one time, he said, never, ever discipline your children when you're angry. He said, you calm down first. And then when you can gather them into your arms in love, talk to them about what they've done wrong and talk to them about the end result of what's going to happen. Talk to them about the discipline that they have to go through because they've done wrong and explain it to them. But he said, never do this in anger. Well, the reason he said that to me is because he had watched me beat the way out of Becky one time. I used to beat my kids unmercifully. I mean, I'll just, honest confession. I was taught by my grandfather and my father that, you know, the answer to everything is a whooping. That just answers everything. Give them a whooping. And I love my grandfather, my father dearly, and praise God they've changed since those days. And I lived through it. But discipline can be a very beautiful thing between two people that are loving one another and understanding one another. And so don't be afraid of discipline. Appreciate discipline. And the more you appreciate discipline and submit to discipline of the Lord and His Word, the closer you will be as a disciple of Christ. Amen? A disciple is a disciplined one. Did you find Mark 12? I'm going to read verse 28 through 34. Now, Jesus has been talking to the folks here. He's been teaching them. And in verse 28 says, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he perceived that he, Jesus, had answered them well. And he asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all is the commandment. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And in verse 31, he goes on to say, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. So Jesus makes it clear here that these two commandments, loving the Lord with everything we are and our neighbor as ourselves, that those are the ultimate, the most important commandments. Now in verse 32, the scribe begins to talk again. Now, by the way, the scribe is someone who studied the Word of God. He was called a scribe because he used one. You know what a scribe is? A scribe is what you would carve words into a tablet or a tree or a piece of wood. A scribe cuts. You can scribe your name, or we might say inscribe. You've probably heard that, inscribe your name. You would inscribe, you know, if you ever went to the movies, you probably inscribed your name on the back of the chair in front of you, you know. Mitch never did that. He just stuck his gum under the seat. Yeah. But the scribe was someone who studied the Word of God and put it into words, wrote it out. You know, in those days, they didn't have printing presses. They had scribes who would copy the original documents, the original, as it was written by the prophets of old. They would transcribe these words and these messages onto new parchment, new paper, new scrolls. And so the scribes knew the Word of God because they were always writing the Word of God. They were very well versed in the Word of God. In verse 32, the scribe said unto Jesus, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there's none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more. Everybody say, is more. He just got through repeating what Jesus said about the first two commandments, and he said, this is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, if you know your Old Testament, you know that the offerings and the sacrifices were the most sacred ways to worship God in that day. You never came to worship God without a sacrifice. You never came into the house of God without an offering. It was a sacred thing and a sacred ceremony, and it required sacrifice and offerings. And he says this love thing that Jesus is telling you about, loving God and loving your neighbor, is more than all those sacred sacrifices. In verse 34, when Jesus saw or heard that he answered discreetly, he said to him, Jesus says to the scribe, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now, if he was not in the kingdom of God, rather he was at a place not far from the kingdom of God, he must have been in another kingdom on his way to the kingdom of God. We making sense? He was in the kingdom of, you might say, Moses. He was in the kingdom of the law and the prophets. He was in the kingdom of the Old Testament. But when Jesus realized that this man was in agreement with the love message, Jesus realized that this scribe that knew the word of God well was on the right track. He said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You've almost got it, buddy. You've almost moved up a notch. You've almost come up to a new level of believing. You've almost come up to a new realm of worship. You've almost come up to the message that I live and preach, a message of love. Now, Jesus was such a fanatic about this love thing, he even loved his enemies. Well, the scribe knew better than that. In the old teachings, you always killed your enemies. I'm sure glad we didn't live back then, because I've had some enemies who would have been after me. Jesus loved them. He loved everybody. And it's because he's so good. Ever knows how good he is? Let's just talk about how good he is a little bit. You want to talk about how good he is? Well, first of all, we have to know that Jesus is the will of God personified. You want to know the will of God? Jesus is the will of God personified. He is the essence and the full expression of the will of God. Now, Jesus lived in the kingdom of love. He lived in this kingdom of the first two commandments. And because he lived in this kingdom of the first two commandments where you love everybody, enemies and all, this is what happened. When he encountered a sick person, he would say, just go ahead and suffer another 3 or 4 months. God's trying to teach you something. No, I got that wrong, didn't I? I got that wrong. He sees this blind guy over here crying out, have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me, son of David. Jesus walks up to him and says, hey, you old blind bat. You're just full of sin and ugliness. God's teaching you a lesson with his blindness. Just stay blind 6 more months. I'll come by and check on you later. See how you're doing. Is that what he did? No, because he was living in the love kingdom. He just loved to heal people. You know, we can't find anywhere in the Word. You cannot find it cover to cover. You can't find anywhere in the Word where Jesus ever turned them down and said, I'm not going to heal you. The only place where it indicates that he wasn't healing a lot of people was where they were full of doubt and unbelief in his hometown. And he said he couldn't do many mighty miracles because of their unbelief. And so his miracles were limited because of their unbelief. But he went there to heal. They just all couldn't receive it because they said, well, that's a carpenter's son. He can't heal nobody. But Jesus walked this love thing out to the point of healing those that needed healing. He even went so far as to give people money that needed money. Peter was biting his nails. Lord, it's the 15th of April and the taxes are due. We don't have any money. Lord, I quit fishing and started following you to be a fisherman, a fisher of men, and my pocketbook's empty, and the tax man's going to be knocking my door down tomorrow. I'm in trouble. They're going to sell my kids. Jesus said, cool. Just chill, Peter. Just chill. I want you to go down the shore, and you know, you're talking about fishing. I'll just let you go fishing one more time. Go down the shore, and the first fish you catch, check in his mouth. Peter goes down. He gets a fish. He looks in that fish's mouth, and what's in there? The Bible said there was enough money in that fish's mouth to pay Peter's taxes and Jesus's too. That's love. He didn't just heal people's bodies. He healed their pocketbooks. I was on the edge of a revelation here a few days ago, and I'm still grasping for it. We put quite a bit of attention towards trying to get people healed, and we're going to keep doing that. But Jesus didn't just heal bodies, he healed finances. He made things right. He healed finances. And we should never be shy in speaking healing towards someone's finances. I believe, Mitch, we have been too shy. They come to us, you know, with aches and pains, and we jump all over that, anoint them with oil, and get in the prayer line, catch them, and, you know, let's get with this. But we need to be just as bold when it comes to healing the pocketbook. Jesus did. Let's just go through this a little bit. Jesus was so into this love thing that he sent his disciples in a boat to go across to the other side. And out in the middle of the lake, a big storm comes up, and it looks like the boat's going under. I mean, it just looks like, you know, this is it. Waves are splashing over into the boat. The sail was probably broken. You know, I mean, it was bad. It was the storm of storms. Jesus comes to him walking on the water and says, "Have you guys learned the lesson yet? Have you guys suffered in that fear and torment long enough? I'll tell you what, I'll be back in an hour or two, and if you haven't sunk, we'll talk about it." Hey, where'd my light go? Mauro, does that mean it's time to close? That's what they used to do to us in the bar, you know, they'd flip the lights about 1 o'clock and say, "It's time to go." Okay, let's get away from that. Let's get back on track here. Jesus loved people, and he loved fixing things for them. And you know what he said to that storm? The Bible says he rebuked the wind and the wave. Now, would Jesus rebuke something that's good? Huh? Would Jesus rebuke something that's good? Evidently, the storm was bad. Evidently, the storm was sourced by the evil one and was a bad storm that shouldn't have been there, or Jesus wouldn't have rebuked it. He would have blessed it. Huh? Jesus isn't going to send storms into your life to teach you a lesson. The devil's sending the storms into your life. And Jesus wants to rebuke the storm. Amen. He was so good. The disciples were still of the old book for the most part. It took them a long time to get transferred over to the New Testament and their way of thinking. They saw a group of people over across the way. They were casting out devils, but they hadn't been following Jesus. They're over there preaching the gospel, doing the works of Christ, you know, casting out devils. And Peter and John and James and the brothers come to Jesus and say, "Hey, there's some guys over here casting out devils, and they're not part of our group. Shall we call fire down from heaven and burn them?" That's what they said. That sounds like some of the churches today. They can't get along, so they just say, "Well, just burn them. We don't want them on the neighborhood." Come on, lighten up. Jesus said, "You don't know what spirit you're talking about. You don't know what spirit you're talking from." Yeah, but Jesus, they're not part of our group. He said, "You don't know what spirit you're talking about. If they're not against us, they're for us. They're casting out devils. Leave them alone. Send them an offering." Jesus was so good. And that's because he was teaching us of the kingdom of God. He told the scribe and those that were in that party, he says, "Love the Lord your God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself." He says, this is kingdom talk. This is kingdom living. This is kingdom regulation. This is kingdom commandment. Love everybody. And the scribe says, "I agree with that." And Jesus says, "You're not far from the kingdom." Jesus models how kingdom lifestyle should be lived. If you wonder, how does this love kingdom thing work? It works like Jesus worked. He modeled the kingdom lifestyle in such a way that we can know how the kingdom is to be lived. The kingdom life should be lived. Amen? The life that Jesus lived and still lives today. Do you know Jesus still lives today? The life he lived and still lives today, and his characteristics that he portrays give us the examples of how life should be for a Christian. You want to know what the Christian walk looks like? It looks like Jesus' walk. What does a Christian life look like? It looks like Jesus' life. What does a Christian ministry look like? It looks like Jesus' ministry. What does the kingdom of Jesus look like? It looks like Jesus. Amen. Oh, by the way, happy Mother's Day. Did you know that the 10th of May every year is Mother's Day in Mexico? We always have it on a Sunday. They always have it on the 10th, our daughter Lisa's birthday. She's 44 today. My baby is 44 and I'm only 39. Go figure. My mother asked me on the phone a couple of days ago. She had forgotten how old I was. She has a right to forget that. She's almost 90. And she said, "How old are you?" Because she couldn't believe. She had it figured up, you know. is 69, but it just wasn't. She said, it can't be. I said, yeah, Mom, I'm 69. She said, well, it just can't be. I said, Mom, I'm 69. I'll be 70 next year. She said, my babies are getting so old. So happy Mother's Day, 10th of May. And we'll tell you that again Sunday, okay? We're going to have Mother's Day from now to Sunday. That be all right? That means we got to do the dishes. The men have to do the dishes, do the cooking from now to Sunday. Amen, Maldo? Jesus is the express image of the Father. He's the perfect example and the perfect representation of what the kingdom of God looks like. I thought it was interesting, John the Baptist, in a couple of places, John the Baptist says his main message was the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes on to share with us in a little later in the book of John, I believe it is, where they put John the Baptist in prison and they take his head. They behead him, put an end to his ministry. And it says, from that day forward, Jesus preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John started it, Jesus picked it up and carried it on. Now, it's interesting that Jesus would preach everywhere he went, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, I got to meditating on that, and I looked up, you know, some synonyms on how that would flow together. It's like he was saying, the kingdom of heaven is here, have some. That's the way it really translates. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's saying, the kingdom of heaven is here. It just arrived. Have some. Huh? And when Jesus comes up to you and says, the kingdom has arrived. Have some. You want to take some. You want to take all you can get right there. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has arrived. Have some. And then he went on in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he's prayed, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus, every once in a while he'd get lonesome for heaven. He remembered what it was like in heaven. He said, Lord, let's make it like that here on earth. And he said, and so, you know, I can just see him visiting with the Father. And the Father says, Son, you know now, you remember why I sent you? I sent you. You're praying that the kingdom come, be, you know, on earth as it is in heaven. And you know I sent you to set the example for that. So she said, yeah, I know, Dad. Yeah, let me get busy. Give me some people to preach to and some people to heal, some storms to calm. Jesus did his part to fulfill his prayer to bring things from heaven to earth. And then he has laid it over on us, and he's laid it over on his disciples and followers and Christians everywhere to follow his example and do all we can to bring heaven to earth. How do we do that? The same way Jesus did it. We heal the sick, we calm the storms, we heal the pocketbooks, we feed the multitudes, we raise the dead. Yeah, he did. Everybody say, I believe it. I want to live in the benefits of the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't come and teach the kingdom and portray as an example kingdom living and then say, oh, take it or leave it. No, he said, you've got to take this. You've got to get this. It means so much to me. I'm willing to lay my life down for it. You've got to come to this. You've got to get this message. You've got to get a hold of those first two commandments that swallow up all other commandments. You've got to get a hold of this love message. You've got to get over into this kingdom of love. You just got to. He said, I'm willing to die for this message. It's that important. If it was that important to him, it better be close to that, important to us. Wow. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Have some. I just love that. Just love that. Well, I could go on with this, but I feel like I'm about where I need to change here. By the way, just for your information and to help you in your studying of the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, you'll find that they are the same, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Matthew, in his book, in his writings, Matthew almost always said kingdom of heaven. And Mark, Luke, and John, and the other disciples and apostles used kingdom of God for the same topic, same subject. It was just a different terminology used by different people. The kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are exactly the same. You can't separate them. At one time, I thought you could. I thought at one time, some guy told me, and I didn't research it to find out for myself. I just believed him. But he said, the kingdom of heaven was everything Jesus did in heaven. The kingdom of God is everything Jesus did on earth. And I thought, well, okay, well, didn't take long to find out I was haywire on that. But the reality of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, same thing, same thing. And kingdom of God is where heaven is, and kingdom of heaven is where God is, and they're all the same. You can't separate God from his house. You can't separate God from his house. You can't separate him from his body. You can't separate him from his word. You can't separate him from his acts and his mercies in his ways. He is one in so many different ways. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to know more about this kingdom of God thing. Lord, your word says the kingdom of God is at hand, and it translates out as it's at hand. Have some. It has arrived. Have some. It has arrived. Here it is. What are you going to do with it? And Lord, as we see the kingdom of God in your life, we're hungry for it. We're hungry for that kingdom living. And we see that the kingdom of God is based on love. Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart and all that we are. Loving our neighbor as ourself. That seems to be the very basis, the very foundation, the very life substance of the kingdom is love. Lord, your word says that God is love. And so your kingdom must be a love kingdom. And we just thank you for that. And we just pray that we'll be better able to enter in our own personal lifestyles, enter into that kingdom of love. And like you did, Lord Jesus, that we'll portray and live out the love of God towards all people everywhere. That our love for you, Lord, will be ever increasing. Ever increasing, ever increasing, that we'll wake up every morning loving you more than we did yesterday. Waking up tomorrow loving you more than we did today. Lord, teach us to love. Teach us to walk the kingdom walk and talk the kingdom talk. Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we bless you. Holy Spirit, we bless you. The heavenly Trinity, we bless. Our God in one, three in one, we bless. In Jesus' name, we bless, bless, bless the kingdom of God everywhere it is. We bless the people who will be a part of the kingdom of God. We bless those that are not yet part of the kingdom but are called to be part. We bless them that their pathway will be made clear and quick and expedient, that people will find the love of God and enter into the kingdom. May the kingdom of God live in the hearts of people, in the very lives of people, in every language, in every tongue, in every nation. May the kingdom of God thrive and prosper in Jesus. Amen.
I have it on my heart for us to say a prayer for Bob. He's in Guaymas and doing a three-day ministers conference in Guaymas with a number of ministers there. And I've just been feeling like a stirring in my spirit. And Lord, I just lift up Bob tonight and for the next 2 days, Lord, as he's ministering to ministers. I thank you, Lord, that there will be a fresh wind from heaven blow through the place, that your spirit will ignite, encourage and bless, and far up, that there be winds of heaven blowing in this conference, that Bobby enter in to a flow of the prophetic, even in his teaching form, that his words be words of life and words, living words, fresh from the throne of God, Father God, that these ministers will be encouraged, strengthened, but most of all, go out with a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit and just breathe. Lord, in that meeting, breathe life. Breathe the winds of the Spirit. Oh, that everyone will leave with freshness, freshness from heaven. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for a mighty moving of your Spirit in this minister's meeting. We just give you praise.